need you to find this green piece of paper. It says, Bring a Friend Sunday, responsive reading. I'm going to read the regular text, and I need you all to read that which is bold. Let's stand as we read it. It says, Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ. Having heard the word of God and your pastor's leadership on the upcoming Bring a Friend Sunday, what are the people of God moved to do? Amen. Listen, as you remain standing, because I know once some of y'all sit down, it's hard to get back up. Let me read the preaching material for today. We're going to forego the singing of Lift Him Up. Let's keep moving. This is Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. The Bible says, Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Listen to what they were amazed about. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him? That he even does miracles. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, Only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. I want to entitle this sermon, Making the Most Out of the Situation. Making the Most Out of the Situation. I don't know what's going on with this PA system, but I want y'all to keep my mic on. I need my mic, and so if I go out, get me another mic. I need to preach this sermon today. I'm talking about making the most out of the situation. You should know by now that Mark presents Jesus as the servant of God, and here we find the servant has circled back to his hometown. There, instead of being received as a hometown hero, instead of being received with great pride, look at our son in ministry. On the contrary, he was received with offense, skepticism. They wanted to know, isn't this the son of Joseph? Isn't this Mary's boy? Isn't his sister's still living here. And the Bible says that Jesus laid his hands on a few people. Now, he gave us that beautiful nugget, how the prophet does not have honor at home. He was amazed at their lack of faith. I would like to think he was frustrated with their lack of faith. I mean, I'm sure he wanted to do great things at home, but he did the most with the situation. He made the most out of the situation. And you know, there are people in your life who you would really love to be a blessing to. You know that God can do marvelous things in their life, and they're just not receiving from you. And if you are not careful, you will throw up your hands and just say, forget about it. But if you look at the example of Jesus, he didn't just forget about it. He made the most out of the situation. And that's what I want to put in your spirit today, that in spite of home ministry difficulties, we should be faithful. Do you hear me? I said, in spite of home ministry difficulties, we should be faithful. Ministry then got to be spoken about. Jesus shows us that to be a Christian means to be busy in ministry. Every time you see Jesus, he's going somewhere or just came from somewhere, preaching over here, teaching over there, healing over there. He's always on the move, being responsive to human need. And I say to you that if you claim to be a Christian, a follower of Christ, you ought to be involved in some ministry. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are his workmanship, and we have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We've been foreordained, it's been pre-established that every believer has a good work to do. Now, it is a legitimate question. Reverend, what am I supposed to do? I cannot sing like Beverly Jackson. I cannot pray like Deacon Kavanaugh. I cannot serve as Sister Howell at the usher's post. What can I do? I would not even know how to turn on the camera that Sister Fisher so faithfully mans Sunday after Sunday. What can I do? I cannot preach. I cannot sing. I cannot usher. What can I do? That's a legitimate question. Let me help you. Let me help you. Your call to ministry is normally around the intersection of three roles. Are y'all listening? Three roles where these three intersect is normally your call to ministry. The first is, what are you able to do? The second is, what do you have the opportunity to do? And then the third is, what do you have a desire or at least a willingness to do? Let's go over it a little bit slower. What are you able to do? You are able to do something. Just like you are able to pick up the phone and run your mouth about the latest gossip, you can use the same skill set, pick it up just the same way, put the phone up there on your ear and encourage people in the Lord. Just like you drive your car, many of us are able to drive the church vehicle so that nobody would ever be able to call the church and we have to tell them, no, we can't pick you up. We don't have anybody to drive out that way. You can do something. What are you able to do? And then secondly, what do you have an opportunity to do? If you always work first shift, you don't have to worry about, does God call you to do something that takes place at 2 o'clock on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday? You don't have an opportunity to be here at 2 o'clock. What do you have an opportunity to do? But listen to this third one. It is, what do you have a desire or at least a willingness to do? It would be nice, it would be ideal if you had a desire, if you had a passion to do it. But sometimes we are not called to pursue our passion. Sometimes we have to simply be willing to do what needs to be done. Jesus, our elder brother, I was eavesdropping on his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, and I heard Christ tell the Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass me by. That don't sound like he was passionate or desirous to have somebody nailing him to the cross and spearing him in the side. But listen to the next words he said. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. In other words, I don't desire it. I'm not passionate about it. But I am willing to do what needs to be done. This ought to be the spirit of every disciple of Jesus Christ. You ought to do what is needed and not just what is convenient for you. If we need mentors for our young people, if we need drivers for our vehicles, if we need help in the kitchen, if we need people trained to be teachers and managers, and you are able and have the opportunity, then you ought to be willing to meet the need. You ought not just seek what's most convenient for you. You ought not line up to be a second, third, fourth string background singer, fourth string usher, instead of stepping up to fill a need. You trying to be an extra when you got the ability to meet a need. You can be a reacher. You can help us with our children and youth ministry. There's 1,001 things that need to be done in the community. Find yourself something to do besides sitting up here watching me preach. You have a ministry. And then I got to move on. Talk about difficulties at home. Y'all still here? I'm talking about, I done changed lanes. I'm over in this lane now. Talking about difficulties at home. Jesus did not just have ministry, but when he came home, he encountered difficulties at home. He had healed many others. I'm sure he wanted to come home and heal some of the people in his own hometown. He had preached marvelous sermons and got great receptions in other places. And I'm sure he wanted to come home and preach one of his best sermons and be a blessing to his hometown. And lo and behold, when he came home, instead of people being excited, being prideful, boy, I remember when you was just a snotty-nosed kid around here, but look at what the Lord is doing through you now. Instead of that being their attitude, the Bible says they were offended. Who you think you are? Talking about you the son of God. You the son of Joseph, boy. I remember when I changed your dirty diapers and wiped your snotty nose. You ain't all of that. They were offended that Jesus did not stay where they remembered him at. And I don't want you to be surprised as you go out here trying to bring people to this Bring a Friend Sunday. People can have some strange memories. People you love, people you care about, people you're really trying to help can have strange memories. They have a way of remembering what they ought to forget. And they have a way of forgetting what they ought to remember. They remember how you used to be drinking buddies, but they forget how long it's been since the last drink. They remember how you used to run the streets together, but they forget what a difference God has made in your life. They remember mistakes you made when you were younger in life, and they forget about how God has changed you and made a man out of you, made a woman out of you, made you an upstanding husband, an upstanding wife, an upstanding parent. They forget all that they see and remember the dirt of your life. Strange memories. And they can be so hypersensitive. You ain't trying to hate on nobody. You're trying to share with them what God has put in your spirit to be a blessing to them. And the Bible says they were offended. I don't want you to be surprised to know that not only does misery like company, But mediocrity loves company as well. People, average people, want you to stay average with them. Underachievers want you to be an underachiever with them. They are offended by the fact that you're not satisfied being average, that you're trying to go to the next level. Because somehow they think you throwing off on them, that you want to be a disciple. So what you saying, you're not a member like us no more? Some of the strangest things can run through the minds of those whom we love. And I want to tell you, don't join this crowd. Don't become this hypersensitive, hating crowd of the hometown prophet. And I've seen it. It's amazing to me how a person 200-300 miles from any direction can come here and sing a song, and we act like, ooh wee, that's the best song I ever heard, and the choir sung the song last week. Somebody come from 300 miles away and preach the same sermon that the preacher preached last week, and we act like this is just new stuff. Don't join this crowd. God can do marvelous things through those who sit here in your presence if you can receive God through those who sit around you. Well, I'm getting ready to close up here. I tried to say something about ministries, tried to say something about difficulties at home. I'm coming in now on this matter of faithfulness. What did Jesus do in light of these people's strange attitude and behavior? The Bible says that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. I'm sure there were many more he wanted to lay his hands on. I'm sure there were many others whom he wanted to heal, but they were not ready for it. So what then does he do? He says, even though I can't do all I want to do, let me do all that I can. Let me make the most out of the situation. There may be a perfectionist sitting in the room today, and you need to hear this word. Perfectionism does not work in ministry. You will never get people perfect. And I don't want to hurt your feelings, but one of the reasons you can't get them perfect is because you're not perfect. I wish I had a little help up in here. We've all sinned, and we all keep on sinning. We have fallen short, and we keep on falling short of the glory of God. Sometimes you just got to do the best you can with the cards that you have in your hand. Somebody ought to help me here. Somebody need to hear this word, because your children will never be perfect. Your marriage will never be perfect. Your job will never be perfect. God knows our health will never be perfect. And you just sometimes got to make the most out of the cards that you have. I wish I had just a little help this morning. I feel like preaching. I feel like coming through here. Jesus did the best he could with what he had. Somebody need to carry this word back home and see that yes, your marriage is on the rocks. Yes, it looks bad. I don't know if you're going to make it, but don't let a broken marriage stop you from being the best parent that you can. Somebody's trying to get serious with God and your peers are not walking with you. Don't let bad company keep you from being the best disciple that you can be. Yes, you got some bad memories and bad experiences in your family, but keep on being the best reacher that you can be for the Lord. Yes, you might work in a place of much corruption, but you keep showing up talking about, I'm working as unto the Lord. Do the best you can in the situation. Because after all, God don't need much to work with. God just need a little bit. Can I just tell you about a little bit and I'll be out of here? I just want to talk about a little bit. The Lord don't need a whole lot to get started with. I remember he had a schoolboy's lunch. Nothing but a few fish and a few barley loaves. But when the Lord got finished with it, he fed over 5,000 men, not to mention the women and the children. Lord, give me preaching power. The Lord took just a little bit, took the son of an idol worshiper by the name of Abram. But when the Lord got finished with Abram, the Lord changed his name into Abraham, gave Abraham an Isaac, gave Isaac a Jacob, changed Jacob's name to Israel, and gave Israel 12 boys. The 12 boys had children, and then the children had children. Before we knew anything, the 12 families became 12 clans, and the 12 clans became 12 tribes. The 12 tribes became the nation of Israel. But it all started with just a little bit. Lord, help me preach here. I know the Lord don't need much to work with. Can't y'all see that little basket floating down the Nile River? Can't y'all see it? It's right here. Can't you see the basket floating down the Nile River? And hush up now, hush up, hush up. Sound like I hear. My mind must be playing tricks on me. It sounds like I hear a baby crying in the basket. Lord have mercy. Somebody got a baby in a basket out here on the Nile. Lord have mercy. That's Moses in the basket. If you don't think the Lord can do a whole lot with a little bit, follow Moses for just a few minutes. They tell me that insecure Pharaoh had given a genocide order, killed all of the baby boys in Egypt. Hold on. Moses' mama said, ain't no way in the world I'm gonna kill my own son. I can't bear to kill my own son. And I can't stand to let anybody come in my house and kill my baby. So I'm gonna put my baby in the hands of the Lord. I'm gonna put my baby in this basket, and I'll put my basket on this river. And Lord, if he died, he's gonna die in your hand. He's not gonna die in mine. Ooh, Lord. They tell me that Pharaoh's daughter's servant found the baby, brought the baby to Pharaoh's daughter. Yes, my Lord. Pharaoh's daughter said, I want to keep the baby. He's a cute baby. Can I keep the baby, Daddy? Daddy said, yes. You can keep the baby. But Pharaoh's daughter didn't have milk in her breasts. So she said, I gotta find me one of these Hebrew women to come down here and give nurse to my new adopted son. Look how God worked that thing out. The servant went back and got Moses' mama and brought Moses' mama over here to Moses. And here's Moses' mama holding her baby, taking care of her baby. Ain't God all right? The Lord took that same baby, brought him on up in Egypt, and then took him to the backside of the mountain. And you know, there's some things you can't learn in Pharaoh's house. You gotta go to the backside of the mountain. But thanks, thanks be unto God, the same God that took him to the backside of the mountain, brought him back around to the front side of the mountain. Same Moses went down, 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 down to Pharaoh, and told Pharaoh, I am that I am, has sent me on a divine assignment. Let my people go. Lord have mercy. I done ran out of time again. I'm sorry, David. David, I know I told you I would tell them about how they took you from watching your daddy's sheep to being the king of all Israel. Saul, I know I told you, man, I would tell the people how the Lord took you and turned you from being a persecutor to being a planter of the church. But I gotta come in here. The Lord can take a little bit and do so much if you don't give up. Yeah, if you don't give up on God, God won't give up on you. Yes, my Lord, if you don't give up, don't give up on God, God, he sure won't give up on you. Yes, my Lord, and thanks be unto God, the Lord did not keep Jesus, yes, in his hometown, but he was faithful over a few things, and at the right time, the Father made the Son ruler over many. If you be faithful, the Lord, yeah, the Lord, he will take you from one level of grace to the next. If you be faithful over a few things, the Lord, he will make you ruler over many. Good morning, children. Thank you for your time. I tried to tell you today, make the most out of the situation. Yes, it looked kind of bad. Yes, can't see your way, but do the best you can with what you have. The Lord still specializes in taking just a little bit, just a little bit, just a little bit, and turn, 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 turn your whole life around. Ain't God all right? I gotta close here, but I'm glad the Lord took little old me Yes, he did. And did marvelous, wonderful things to my life. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. You don't have much to work with, but thank you for putting a trumpet down in my voice. We don't have much to work with, but Lord, thank you for taking my mind and thinking your thoughts. Thank you for taking my mouth, speaking your words. Thank you for taking my feet and walking where you want to walk. Ain't God all right? Ain't God all right? Yes, he is. Please, y'all, help me close now. Just reach over and tell your neighbor, hey neighbor, I don't know your situation, but the preacher said, make the most out of your situation. The preacher said, if you don't give up on God, God won't give up on you. The preacher said, God will take care of you. Won't he make your enemies stumble and fall? Won't he open doors can't nobody close? Won't he shut doors of danger can't nobody open? Can't nobody do us like the Lord Jesus. I love to call his name Jesus. I've abandoned all homiletic structure. Please stop the critique. I done messed around here and got happy. Jesus, I love his name. I love his name. On him, God will not give up on you. Make the most out of the situation. Bless you. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, today's a marvelous day. Come on over on the Lord's side. You ought to come.